trauma. So later, Brahma will go and pacify Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva will agree that, okay, I have to teach him a lesson, that's why I had to do this. They are my children, but I have to teach them, so that's why I did this action too. So later, Daksha will be revived back, but the point to be noted is, he did not get a human head, he got the head of a goat. So the effect of Vaishnava Parada is so heinous that you may even lose your head. You may even get a goat head, which means lesser intelligence. Later on we see how Daksha, from being a son of Brahma, how he will, seeing how he is getting degraded slowly. Then after being revived, Daksha will come back to his senses, and he will fall at the feet of Lord Shiva, pacify him by prayers, he'll ask for forgiveness. Now, what happens to that particular type of Daksha lifestyle, I didn't know before I read Srila Prabhupada's purports further. Prabhupada mentions that he did not want to live in that particular life, that particular situation, Daksha. Then he gave up his body. And later, again, he is born as a son of Prachetas. He will take birth at that time. So if you see the contrast here, how a person who were, like, they are having the same facilities, Kardama and Daksha. And one has gone to the extreme. And here we can see how Kardama Muni, he is purifying his consciousness. And in that purified consciousness, he worships. And what does he do? He invites, by his austerity, is able to see the Lord himself and get the benediction. So, now, with the prayers offered by Kardama and Daksha. Daksha, at this stage, we don't see any prayers being offered. Whereas Kardama Muni, he initially composes a lot of prayers on seeing the Lord, and he glorifies the Lord. Later part, when we see the side-by-side contrast with Daksha, Daksha will be born to Prachetas, and he will also again, because he is again born as a Prajapati, so he has to procreate. So now he will get the Hamsa Guhya prayers, which is already in the Vedic scriptures, and he will recite it, and he will offer those prayers to the Lord. Now, still the desires in Daksha's heart is still not gone. It is still there. And he glorifies the Lord with the Hamsa Guhya prayers. The Hamsa Guhya prayers are not composed by Daksha, but is there in the scriptures, and he is taking it and he is reading it. So the prayers mostly focus on the greatness of the Lord. How great he is and how opulent he is. And that is the mood. So you are so great, now please fulfill my desire. You have such and such great qualities, so you please fulfill my desire. So the karmakandic tendency of glorifying the Lord and asking something in return, that is still there in Daksha. Because it comes back to the point of where, how he got, even Daksha in his previous birth, he also got cursed by Nandi, saying that you will be fully engaged in karmakandic type of worship, you always be engaged in sense gratification, and like that your life will be like that. So that's a curse that he got from Nandi. So if we analyze the prayers of it, so both of them are worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, both of them are offering prayers, both of them have material desires, both of them are asking for a wife. But what's the key difference? If you analyze the prayers of Kardama Muni, he tells one important statement where it is saying, O Lord, I offer repeated respects to you. And then he is asking the Lord to destroy those material desires that he has. Here is the contrast. Kardama Muni knows that he has material desires. He is approaching the Lord, but he is asking the Lord to destroy those material desires and give pure devotion to him. So, O Lord, who destroy the desire to enjoy, how do you do that? By giving realization of your sweetness. The focus of Kardama is more towards the sweetness of the Lord, whereas the focus of Daksha is towards the greatness of the Lord. And here Kardama asks for taking away all the material desires. Whereas Daksha, yes, I want to procreate, I still have material desires, you please fulfill that desire. You are capable of giving everything, so please give me a good wife. So here is where we can take a great lesson, that even though we have material desires, it is okay to approach the Lord, but the prayers that we offer should be that I do have this material desires, my Lord. Can you please take away those material desires? And that is what happened to Dhruva Maharaj as well. He had material desires, he approached the Lord, but after seeing the Lord, at least after seeing the Lord, the heart of Dhruva transformed. But it did not happen in the case of Daksha. After offering Hamsaguhya prayers, the Lord appeared before him. How did the Lord appear before him? He is with 8 arms, showing all his opulence. That's what you want to see? That's what I will show you. Ye yata mam prapadyante tam sadaiva bhajamya. Whereas we see Kardama Muni, he comes in his 4-armed form. Sweetness of the Lord, how his eyebrows are moving, how his attractive features are there. Whereas for Daksha, you wanted me like a powerful person, I'll show you the powerful form of this. The club, disc, all the 8 hands, all the opulence, with followers. Narada, Indra, all are coming with Daksha. At that time, what happens is, he is a bit afraid of the Lord on seeing the Lord. This, the first reaction of Daksha on seeing the Lord was fear. Why? Because you still have material desires. The Lord may want, he may fulfill my desire or he may not fulfill my desire. Whereas Kardama, he was so pleased on seeing the Lord, he did not have any fear. He again offers more prayers. And in case of Daksha, there is no guarantee. The Lord fulfills his desire. Lord's purpose at that time was that living entities should get bodies, so that they can get out of this material world. And Daksha wants to procreate. Okay, mate, we have a good deal here. So you procreate and I'll give you all benedictions. You will enjoy material life fully. You will create sons. That's a thin, that's like a good benediction, but coming in a different way. We can see externally, it's very good. You'll have a lot of sons. You'll have a lot of opulence. And your sons will also procreate more sons. And they will all be put in my illusory energy. That's the benediction which Daksha is getting. So, see the contrast. If you see what Kardama Muni gets is, Lord tells, my plenary portion will appear in your womb. And I will make sure that I will teach all the knowledge to your wife Devahuti. And after getting all your daughters married, at the right stage, you can leave the home. I'll take care of your wife. You perfect your life. At the end, you will come to me. Even when looking at the desires of both, Kardama Muni is entering Grihastha Ashram, but he is entering with an exit plan. Even to Swayambhu Mano, he will directly tell that, yes, after begetting 9 daughters and 1 son, I will leave home. He has already got a plan before entering the Grihastha Ashram. This is what I will do. After that, after my duty is done, I will take to the renounced order. He openly tells it to Swayambhu Mano. And he has a plan and the Lord approves it. And what is Lord himself takes birth in the place of Devahuti and Kardama Muni. Devahuti very nicely pleases her husband by all means. And being pleased by the service of Devahuti, Kardama Muni will ask, what do you want? So this is somewhere we can take a lesson how we have to please the spiritual master in this way, please our authorities in this way, to the extent they will one day ask you, what do you want to do? At that time, Devahuti will express a desire, I want to have children. Then we will read in the later sections how Kardama Muni, because he is a mystic yogi, he creates a revolving palace that can fly in the whole, in the air, with so many facilities are there. We can see how he is going to enjoy material life, but he is prepared, and he is going to procreate, he is going to create sons. So, he also does it, but at the right time, he quits. I am done with it, I am going. After the son is born, Kapiladev, Lord Kapila will appear in his womb. He will be so pleased, Lord, I am seeing you for the second time now. Earlier I saw you, now you are, it's not like I've seen you once, you are gone, you are now sitting at my home. This is what the Lord will give. The Lord will give himself to a devotee who is pure in his prayers. We'll read few striking points from Prabhupada's purport and I'll conclude there. One should not think that Daksha received favor of the Lord by receiving the facilities for unlimited sex. Later verses will reveal that Daksha again committed an offense, this time at the lotus feet of Narada. Daksha will procreate and produce 10,000 sons. And even though the Lord gave the benediction that your sons will also procreate more and they will be entangled in Maya, our transcendental Narada Muni, he will preach to them, he will convert them all into renounced daughter. They won't enter Grihasthashram at all. Daksha will again get frustrated, but he will control his anger. He will now procreate 1,000 sons. First were called Hareshwas, second 1,000, first 10,000 are called Hareshwas, second 1,000 are called Shavalaswas. Our transcendental Narada Muni, Narayana, he will enter there also, second time, same place. Just follow your brothers. Why do you want to get into family life? They will also do the same thing. This is where Daksha will again, because he has the trace of committing Vaishnava Aparadha, it doesn't leave a person so easily. It carries lifetime after lifetime. He again curses Narada. Narada Muni will treat this, he will go to, even after doing so many things against Daksha, boldly Narada Muni will go to Daksha's home. See what happens. Now that he is so frustrated, it's a good time to advise him and then make him also renounced. That's a preacher, he never gives up. Now that all his sons have left, he must be a bit sober now. I'll preach to him and I'll make him also a devotee. But seeing Narada will provoke Daksha's anger further. What have you done? These are my children, they don't even know. They have to get into Grihastha Ashram. They have to undergo all the pleasures and pains. Then they have to renounce. That is the natural way. Whereas what you have done is, you have artificially put them, given them renounced order, which they can't sustain. That is a usual comment we always receive. Whereas Narada Muni, he will refute that they don't have to, because of being engaged in a higher purpose, it is okay for them to do it. So Narada Muni will not explain, he will just take the curse. The curse is, Narada, you will not stay in any place for a long time. You will always keep traveling. You cannot stay in any place. So Narada will take it as a benediction. Okay? Cheers, mate. I'll go places and I'll preach. So Daksha, this time he commits an offense at the feet of Narada. Therefore, although sex life is the topmost enjoyment in the material world, and although one may have an opportunity for sexual enjoyment by the grace of God, which is what Daksha had, this entails a risk of committing offenses. Daksha was open to such offenses, and therefore, strictly speaking, he was not actually favored by the Lord. One should not seek the favor of the Lord for unlimited potency in sex life. This is purport from 6.4.52. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur also comments in the same lines. Though the Lord mercifully showed Daksha his form after Daksha had praised him and had given him instructions, he cast Daksha in the path of karma and material enjoyment and not in the sweet ocean of prema. So this is where we need to see when we are praying to Lord and we are getting a lot of material benedictions, one after the other, we have to be cautious. Krishna is giving me all that, but he is not going to give himself. He is not going to give pure love of God to me. Because I am satisfied in all that. So even when we are getting material benedictions from Krishna, we need to be careful. Oh, you want this? I will give you, but I will not give myself to you. This is because the influence of his offense to great devotee Lord Shiva had not been completely removed. So, we saw how both Prajapatis, Kardamamuni and Daksha, offered prayers to the Lord, saw the darshan of the Lord, and they engaged in procreation, and how one attained a destination of having the Lord as his own son and later going back home back to Godhead. Whereas the other side, Daksha being proud with the position, he committed first offense against Lord Shiva, got a curse from Nandi, and lot of other calamities happened after that, and got the head of a goat, then left that body, took birth again as a son of Prachetas, but the residue of Vaishnava Aparad, the tendency to commit Aparad is still there. At this stage, even after seeing the Lord face to face for the second time after offering Hamsaguya prayers, Raksha would have asked, please take away the material desires. He did not ask that. You fulfill my material desires. And then the result of that is, you got a lot of sons, enjoyment. Then, because of the tendency to commit offenses there, so whoever is obstructing my enjoyment, he is against me. So I will curse him. So that's why, again, the tendency carried over to the next life, he cursed again. So he went to a different path, is totally different, because they started off from the same place, same facilities again. That's what we started. In the beginning, we discussed same, the same boss, same facilities, but they ended up in two different directions. And we also looked at a lot of lessons that we can learn from our life. Ask the Lord not to fulfill our material desires, but even if we have it, just to take out those material desires from our heart. In that note, I'll finish this class. I'll ask if there are any comments, corrections, questions. Yes. Do the current married people who procreate, are they also called as Prajapatis? That's a question. From my understanding, so for each Manvantara, there will be a Manu, then there will be Manuputras, and then there will be one particular Indra, and then you will have those Manus who are given the in charge of populating the universe. And then they will create population, and those population will create more again and again like that. So, in that sense, we can say that we are not given the title or the ownership of populating the universe, but we have material desires, and to fulfill those material desires in a Krishna conscious way, we enter Grihastha Ashram. As I mentioned earlier, we enter the Grihastha Ashram with an exit plan. I will fulfill my material desires within the Varnashram system. There is some concession given in the Grihastha Ashram, so I will use that and create or produce Krishna conscious children. And that is the level of responsibility that we have got. We are not Prajapatis to procreate and populate the universe. That is not like dharma for us, unless it is assigned to us, like personalities like Daksha, Prajapati, and Ruchi is the other one. Then we have Swayambhu, Manu, Kardama. They are all given the responsibility of creating good population. So in our situation, we produce children because Grihastashram allows it, and we produce Krishna conscious children. So that is the objective. And then eventually we come out of the Grihastashram as well. So we are not meant to be like procreating in that large scale. So that's not our assigned dharma. Okay, anything else? Was Brahma there in that place? No, Brahma was not there. Brahma knew that in this, Brahma and Vishnu did not go to the second sacrifice that Daksha organized. They know that something bad will happen. They did not go. Both Brahma and Vishnu did not go. The other sages were there. Other Brahmanas were there. They got curses. So there's a whole episode. I touched only on Daksha part. They also got curses. Bhrigu Muni will get his teeth broken. All the Brahmanas will get the curse that they will not be wealthy. Then Lord Shiva's followers will get the curse that you will become, all become atheists. And there's a whole cursing, counter-cursing, just by the one action of Daksha. There's a whole episode. When we discuss that, it will be like a great thing. So, yes, they all got their share in the offense also. Bhrigumuni will lose his teeth. And Lord Shiva will tell that, yes, they are my children and I corrected them. If you are getting corrected by Lord Shiva, that's how it will be. So, yeah, so they took part in the Vaishnava Aparad and they got the result. And yeah, this, even at this stage, some cannot chew their own food, they have to be fed by others. So that's a whole episode there. You read the details. So yeah, we should not take part in the blasphemy. Just move out of it. Yeah.
You also mentioned that we should not commit offense verbally, physically, or even mentally.
In action and in mind, mentally. Yeah.
So, how do we, action we can control verbally by discussing with someone else, but how do we control not
thoughts,
to commit offense mentally?
How not to commit offense mentally while we are able to control the actions? Where do actions come in the first place? Where do they originate from? Yeah, mind. So initially you have thoughts. If you think long enough, you'll feel like doing it, and if you feel long enough, you will do it. So they are the stages. So so what happens? It's a very gross example I'm going to give you, but it's powerful. Stool comes out of your body. It has to be properly taken out of your system. Because it's part of your body, you're not attached to it. So similarly, very strong emotional thoughts that we have against other Vaishnavas or those types of emotions, negative thoughts, have to be treated like that. You have to nip it in the bud with strong intelligence, and you don't have to dwell on those thoughts. I don't have to say, what do you do after you go to the toilet? You flush. It goes off and you are clean. You take a bath. So we should be in a position to see what sort of thoughts are coming, what should I dwell on, what should I put in the, what should I discard, what should I dwell on, what should I keep. So there's a framework which Chaitanya Charan Prabhu gives. negative thoughts, then useful thoughts, then those thoughts that are going to nourish you more. So envy, all these thoughts are all negative emotions. They have to be dealt with in such a way that you take them out of your system. And by filling up your mind with other thoughts. So you are, when you're starting, you know, getting the thoughts about other devotees, you externally by action, you do the reverse. You go and serve them. You fold their clothes. You wash their clothes. Do whatever is practical. You bring prasadam for them. You do the reverse action for whatever is happening in your mind, your negative thoughts about a devotee. Do those thoughts so that they don't come out and you're purifying yourself. And obviously there is a reading Shastra by understanding the effect of the offense committed by a person, how it goes on. The effect goes up to the stage, or even if you go up to the stage of bhava and all that, the traces will still remain. So that is the extent of damage that we're talking about. So one is philosophical understanding, and personally taking them, discarding those thoughts, not feeding them and taking them out. And third is by actually going and serving those devotees who we think we're having some little bit of, not so much verbally, but still having some discomfort in it. So yeah, go ahead and do those things. Then slowly you'll be able to come out. Anything else? Hare Krishna. Super, super. So, taking the example of Lord Shiva, how do we use that, or not to use that as an excuse for not paying respects to other Vaishnavas? There are certain instances where you are absorbed in chanting, for example, and then many people come in and go out. You are not conscious of their coming in and going. And so, at that stage, it's okay. But if, say for example, it also depends on the person who is coming in. So if your spiritual master is coming in and you are chanting and you see him, at that time you can stop chanting, put everything down, then pay immediate respects. Or your superiors who are of that level, we can immediately put it down and then pay our respects. So that is to them, superiors. So then when they are offering and when we are sitting in a japa or so, absorbed. So we also, okay, we acknowledge there, so we don't have to pay respects back, because you are doing a particular action, which is like, say, I took the example of japa. Or when you are honoring Mahaprasadam, say for example, that time when somebody pays obeisances, we can just say, we can also do that. These are like specific instances. But consciousness wise, depending on the different levels of devotees, we offer them respects mentally, physically sometimes, and also we show both in some instances. Where, as I said, if it's a spiritual master or an authority who's coming in at that particular stage or engaged in devotional activity, you can pause and then they will also understand. Is that okay? Thank you. Hare Krishna. ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की समवेत भक्तवृंद की जय थाई गौर प्रेमानंदी।